Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. The sun is shining. I'm looking forward to a great day with my boys here in the studio. Barry's here. Nick's here. That's all the cheer one person can ask for in 1 3-hour period of time. Fellas, what's going on?
I feel like you're overcompensating for something.
No,
are
your
you faking
headphones
it?
Are, here.
Are you faking it?
Everything is great. Your headphones are back. We're fired up. It's going to be a good day.
My headphones aren't back, man. I feel
then
so
you
weird.
You have
now.
Permission to be pissy.
Oh, yeah. You have the ones that I used yesterday. They're weird.
Ooh, be careful.
They're
your wax,
awkwardly
Nick.
Comfortable. You need your flight simulator headphones with the microphone you don't use. The one that got tangled up in Trey's hair and made a rat's nest.
The ones you stole from the drive-through window at Whataburger.
Yeah, exactly. Anything fun last night for you?
No.
No?
No. Mother-in-law's in town. Lisa went to bed at 7. I watched the Rockets all by myself. It was awkwardly different, but cool.
I crashed out. Saw the first half. Fell asleep. Watched the second half this morning. I did have a question for you guys to get us started.
Please.
Because I'm curious, and this is for the listeners too. So if you're out there listening, pay attention.
Because why wouldn't you be listening?
I was watching Lisa's station.
KHOU.
Yes. And this was in the afternoon. This is obviously after we got home from work. And I'm waiting for that. I didn't fart, by the way.
Yeah, what was that?
That was my nail scraping the microphone. I didn't fart. No. By the way, a very underrated fart every time you do
thank
it.
You,
it's a very
you.
Underrated.
I try to change the staccato of it.
Yeah, I like to go for an F flat, you know. So I'm watching KHOU, and I don't know what it was. But they started talking about there's a state representative who has proposed a bill for a state food. The state food of Texas.
I saw this.
And they tease it, and they go to break. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, that's easy. It's probably brisket. It's got to be brisket. I mean, that would be like the logical thing to be the state food of Texas. They come back, and it's tacos. So the lady says that the state food of Texas should be tacos. Now, I'm not opposed to that because there's all kinds of tacos. There right. could be brisket tacos.
Right.
There could be barbecue. There could be chicken. Like I was like, okay, you know what? I kind of get that. One of the weird things, though, and I don't know where they filmed this footage from and whether they just, you know, had it or it was. But they show a close-up of a taco, okay? Mm. And in the taco is a bug.
No way.
I swear to God, a live, I don't know if it's a gnat or a fly or what, but on the taco is just a bug just moving around doing his little thing inside of a taco. And I was like, why? No one saw this
really?
In the newsroom. No one saw this gnat or this bug landing and just milling about in this taco while they're running the news footage. It was the wildest thing. But I ask you guys, and you're you know, an honorary Texan. You've been here long
sure.
enough.
Right.
State food of Texas. You good with taco?
I'm going to tell you that I agree with
you
everything.
You say cheese.
No.
You got to go home.
No. I'm going to tell you, I agree with everything that you said. And to try and appease all parties, I would have said fajitas because of the fact the Tex-Mex, because you get in the beef and the...
or the chicken or whatever, and tortillas and the elements of a taco, I would have gone fajitas.
Okay. Fajitas, the state food of Texas.
How could you not go with I feel like barbecue? I would have gone with fajitas as well.
I would have gone barbecue. Really? I would have said like a brisket or, you know, something barbecue style because of, you know, cattle and the fact that
brisket tacos are amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're absolutely amazing.
So my wife gets mad at me for saying that. They're fantastic.
So you would have said fajitas, which I like. That's a good option. Nick, you say...
I like fajitas as well.
You think that should be the state food of Texas, fajitas.
And I don't disagree with you on barbecue, because obviously with the rodeo...
But barbecue is too generic, right? You can't just say barbecue, because, my goodness, that could be anything.
Yeah, you pigeonhole yourself, and then you leave people... It's like the Chinese jerseys for the Rockets. You just don't want to do that. It's like you pigeonhole yourself...
Nick rolls his eyes.
...which you just say barbecue, and I think this kind of combines cultures.
Well, barbecue, I mean, there's a lot of, I've had fajita at a barbecue place before. So barbecue is very generic. Barbecue could be anything. It could be brisket. It could be sausage. Chicken, it could be chicken, pulled pork. It could be a lot of things with barbecue.
Okay. Yeah, and I see that. I just think overall when you hear people coming to Texas, they want Tex-Mex. When I have guests coming in from Wisconsin or Oregon or wherever, California, they're always kind of focused. First meal when they get to Texas is Tex-Mex.
Okay.
I don't know.
I feel like, so you say we're more known for our Tex-Mex than our barbecue down here?
I won't say more known, but I think that from a palate perspective, people are kind of more focused on, because, you know, isn't it true? Because there's Tex-Mex, but everywhere else there's Mexican food.
Right, yeah, you can't have Tex-Mex in New Mexico.
Exactly.
That would be Tex-New-Mex, or that would be New Mex-Mex.
Right.
Because, yeah, you can't. That would be weird.
So, that's just my two cents.
I think we should do a poll. I want to find out. I'm or just text the show or tweet one of us, whatever. But I want to know what the peoples think. I'm curious. Like Deshaun Verlander said, brisket tacos, boom, the Texas food. And, yeah, we mentioned you could have brisket tacos. But if you had your druthers or if you had your choice... Would it be fajitas, barbecue, or tacos? I don't know. I think all three are viable options.
Well,
now,
if you wanted a fourth, wouldn't you say steaks?
But that's barbecue.
It's not necessarily barbecue to say steaks.
That's true. Yeah, but I think because you can get a really good steak a lot of places. Like
Omaha is known for.
Yeah,
steaks.
You can get a really good. Well, yeah, but I mean, you can go. You
Wisconsin's
know.
Known for cows, but that's not just the food.
But you. Just the women?
It could be.
But you could go to Cali and get a good steak. If you go to a decent steakhouse, they probably have a nice cut of beef. And
Yeah.
I mean, New York steakhouses are well known for making.
True.
I mean, so I don't know that, you know, like we do our own thing barbecue style. Just like, you know, we've talked about this before. Just like Carolina and Kansas City and some of the other Memphis. So there's all those. And maybe that's why it would be Tex-Mex food. Maybe that's why it would be something like fajitas or tacos. Tis a good question. Maybe I'll tweet out a little poll here at Barry's Funny if you want to participate.
I'm good with that because I don't have a chance to lose. I can't lose a poll if it's just about the official food of Texas as opposed to Way Back Wednesday. I'm fine with that. Oh, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow is Way Back Wednesday. Too soon? Did I get it too soon? My fault.
What about artists that have won a Grammy since it's Grammys week?
I'm not opposed to that.
Huh?
I'm not opposed to that.
What was that?
I don't know.
Was that your Cardi B?
Amigos or something? Yeah.
That was your Cardi B?
Yeah, because I'm not sure when she does that, but...
Are you good with that, Nick? I don't want to do your job for you.
No, I'm done.
Even though you don't do it.
You came up with it. I totally agree.
In 2+ years of this show, how many Way Back Wednesday themes have you come
just
up with?
Just because I can't
I'm holding the number under the desk.
I can't think of it off the top of my head doesn't mean it didn't happen.
But if you're on
the fact that he's holding the number under the desk, you know with it can't one,
I have
be a
one
big
hand,
number.
I have one hand on top of the desk, and I am holding
it
the number
be a
up.
Big number.
You ready? You ready? Video stream? Are y'all ready?
Two. I thought it was going to be a zero.
No, two.
You've come up with
like two topics the whole time.
Now, wait a minute. If he has help, but he provides the topic,
that doesn't count.
Oh.
No, it doesn't
so
count.
I put in the footwork. I absolutely get it's credit for that.
I kind of would give it to you.
You get a hockey assist, but you didn't come up with it, so you don't know. You don't get that.
Chris Paul broke an assist record yesterday.
He did.
Yeah.
Stop trying to change the subject from your ineptness.
I'm really not.
He also was bashing kind of the number one of all time on that list.
Who was the number one?
Stockton. And in the post game, he was talking, saying
nobody will ever pass it, is what he said.
And you know what he followed it up with?
What?
They had a heck of a stats guy in Utah.
Oh, yeah, in Utah. Yeah. I heard that, yeah.
And I wish I wasn't hurt so much in my career. And I'm like, okay, spilled milk, leave it alone. You'd have been great, and everybody would be giving you kudos for saying no one's ever going to break that record.
True or false, though, if he was healthy, does he break the record?
No.
Does he become the number one assist man in the NBA of all time?
I don't think so.
Boy, he had a pretty one last night. Second half, he goes around the back, two defenders, splits them. Carries them to the low block. Fareed slashes to the basket. He goes between the defenders with a bounce pass, shoulder high to Fareed, who lays in. I was like, damn, that was pretty.
Dude, if you could do that consistently, you could be a play-by-play guy. Because you just painted the picture. You just painted a visual.
Hey, look at that.
That was good. Oh,
was
yeah.
it? Was it?
Yes.
Oh, you bless your heart. You made me feel so good, Joel. Thank you.
Barry Ackerman and I are coming back on The Usual Suspects. Kelvin Sampson's going to join us next.
Nice.
Head of the Cougs, who are killing it this year, if you aren't aware, NCAA basketball. And we're going to have him next talk all things Cougar basketball heading towards the tournament. That should be fun, and you should be a part of it. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting started. And what better way to kickstart the program than have a friend of the show, but more importantly, a friend of mine, a great dude, Coach Kelvin Sampson, joining us with that University of Houston Cougar program that is on a roll right now. We talk about the 32 straight wins at home, the fact that he's got them playing great. But let's just talk about the fact, three straight 20-win seasons, a top 25 program that now has gotten into the top 10 after the big win against Cincinnati, a team headed towards the tourney, and a guy that doesn't want to talk about any of that. He just wants to talk about their next game. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. Always great catching up with you. How is everything?
Always good to be on with an old friend, Joe. How are you doing, my man?
We're doing good, man, and I'm really fired up about you and this team. And as much as I loved our time together with the Rockets, I knew when you headed over there to Cullen Boulevard that, you know, there was some work to be done, and that program had been struggling for a while. But I couldn't be happier for your success and just the fact that, you know, you lost to Rob Gray last year, and you didn't miss a beat. And now, you know, whether it was a controversial loss or not, your team is in the top 10 and rolling along. And I know you don't like looking at, you know, gloating in the wins, and you want to stay focused. But it's good sometimes just for perspective to look back and say, when's the last time a Cougar team was in the top 10 and had this kind of success? And I give you all the credit in the world, man. This has been a hell of a run.
Well, it starts with the players, Joe. You know that we have really good senior leadership, and Galen Robinson and Corey Davis got really good young players, and our two freshmen, Nate Hinton and Sed Alley, a good group of sophomores, Bryson Gresham, Dejan Giroux, and Fabian White, and then Chris Harris has really developed. Armani Brooks coming off the sixth man of the year in our conference, Breon Brady. You know, we have a deep team, and a lot of nights our best player is whoever's playing good that night. You know, last year with Devin Davis and Rob Gray, those were our two go-to guys. And going into the season, we were, I wouldn't say concerned, but I was anxious to see who would step up, who had really improved in the off season, and that's where I morph over into our staff. You know, Kellen and Quanis, Alvin, you know, we have a great staff. Those guys do yeoman's work and player development. And if someone would ask me what's the strength of our program, that's where I would start, is we develop these kids. They come in as good players, and our job is to make them better and then turn them into a team. And these kids have worked hard. Winning 23 out of 24 games will get you ranked, and then if teams ahead of you lose, you kind of keep moving up. But I don't think anything's changed. I don't think anything will change as far as we're concerned. Yesterday was a mandated day off with the NCAA, so we'll go back to work today and get ready for Connecticut on Thursday.
Coach, you mentioned the 23 out of 24. Y'all are 23-1 right now. Started 15-0. At what point in the season did you realize you had something special? Was it that Oregon win, or when did you know? Oh, you know what? We're working on something kind of special here.
I don't know if I've ever looked at it like that. We had a game early in the year where we could have lost the game. We won at BYU. And on Saturday, we came back on Sunday. It took us a while to get back from Salt Lake City. And then because we traveled on Sunday, we had to take Monday off. That's such a long trip. And then we practiced on Tuesday, play Wednesday night against Rio Grande Valley. And that game came down to the last minute. So we could have easily lost that one, but we found a way to win it. We played LSU in December. We're down 15 in that game, came back and won it. We're down 10 at Utah State, came back and won it. We're down early against St. Louis, came back and won it. And, we just kind of kept getting better and better and better. Once we got to conference, we played well on the road, winning at Tulsa, winning at SMU, winning at South Florida against those teams. And those games kind of bleed into each other. I don't know if I ever sat back and said we're working on something special, but I think that's the key to our team is that as soon as the game is over, we have our routines and rituals that we like to do, and then we just get ready for the next game. Cincinnati was a big game, but for us, Connecticut's a big game. That's our next game, and we've always established that most important game on our schedule will be the next game. While a lot of people around, we've got a lot more fans now. I'm doing a lot more interviews. People are paying attention to us nationally, but inside the cocoon, we've got to get better. We've got to get better at our pick and roll defense, our transition defense. The ball got stuck a little bit on one side too much against Cincinnati. So we watch film, we take notes, we go to the practice court, we get better. We leave tomorrow to head up to Hartford, Connecticut, get ready for Connecticut. And I know that sounds like there's nothing exciting there, but that's kind of who we are.
Coach, talk about that. You talk about the fans, right? And when you took this, and I don't want to say you brought it from the ashes, the program, because there is a history, but it's ancient history, going back to Phi Slam Majama. But when you took this job, you had a problem with getting the fans reengaged. It was a quote-unquote football school. The facility was a little bit outdated. You got the practice facility first. Then you got the Fertitta Center and how everything's come together. When you took the job, you knew it was going to be a hill to climb or a mountain. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the speed and the rate in which you have climbed that mountain, the fans are back, the beautiful facility, and the team is obviously living up to the billing. It has to have really made you very, very happy to see the progress and how quickly it was made.
Well, let's go back to when we first came over here. The thing that jumped out at me was the apathy from the top down. Nobody cared about basketball. I made a statement that I don't know why they were firing coaches. You had no facilities. Nobody marketed basketball. They hired a coach. 4 years later, they fired him. Hired another one. 4 years later, they fired him, and nothing changed. So when I came over here, I had to make sure that was not going to be the case. I said, look, you have to change your attitude about basketball. Look at the state. Look at Baylor, A&M, Texas Tech, Texas. Go up north, you got Oklahoma State. We're going to be recruiting the same kids that those schools are recruiting. When they come on campus, I know exactly what Oklahoma has. I know what Texas has. I was in the league with those schools for 12 years. Recruiting is a competition. And Houston was at a huge, huge competitive disadvantage. I didn't even get why fans were complaining about the team. You know, why are you complaining? They shouldn't have won. I was amazed that James Dickey did as good as he did. You know, he did a great job here, but he just didn't have any support. You know, they bust. They were either every school in the league was chartering. All the top schools charter. All the top schools have beautiful practice facilities. All the top schools have tremendous home court advantages with great fans. Houston had none of that. So that's where we had to start. You know, and I don't forget that. I remember where we came from. You know, a lot of people that are jumping on bandwagon now, we appreciate them, and I hope they keep coming. But I'll never lose sight of the fact how hard it was just to get the attitudes changed and get people to support basketball on this campus. And that's where it started for us.
Hey, Coach, this is the highest that the program has been ranked since the Phi Slamma Jamma days. I mean, being number 9 in the country right now is outstanding. Do you try to use some of that history of the Phi Slamma Jamma? Because you talked about the fact how, you know, it was at a low point.
Our kids were born in 2000 or 1998, 99. They never heard of Phi Slamma Jamma. They don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I have to introduce Elvin Hayes to them, and I did a little video montage of Elvin Hayes, so they understand the greatest player to history in this school is Elvin Hayes. One of the greatest college players ever is Elvin Hayes. You know, these kids think, you know, the players that are playing now. So when you talk about Phi Slamma Jamma, you'd have to, you know, they'd have to Google it. You know, they don't know. So for these guys, they live in their generation. You know, the greatest player of their generation is LeBron James. You know, they argue that Michael Jordan wasn't that good because all they've seen of him is YouTube. So history has nothing to do with the current generation. I make sure they understand the history of our school, which started with Elvin Hayes and Coach Lewis and Don Chaney and all those guys, and then you went into the 80s with Phi Slamma Jamma, then you went into the late 80s. You know, Houston is a lot more than just Phi Slamma Jamma. It has a great basketball tradition. Now, Coach Lewis won here a long time, was winning way before Phi Slamma Jamma, and when we've had some really good players after that. But as far as the history and how these kids relate to it, they don't.
Coach, you're a marketing guy. I know you need to remind him that brand Jordan guy is on the tongue of their shoes. They can't be poo-pooing on that guy now because that's a big deal.
They don't poo-poo. Now, they understand that Michael Jordan, but you got to understand Nate Hinton's 18 years old. We're in 2019.
Sure.
So, you know, they know what they know. We were on a road trip the other day, and we were sitting down at a meal. I think it was at SMU or somewhere. And they were talking about, they want to know, who is Will Chamberlain? And I said,
oh my gosh.
I said, Elvin, who is better, Will Chamberlain or Shaquille O'Neal? And, you know, of course, they think Shaq's the greatest center ever. And Elvin says, not even close. Will Chamberlain was better. And so Elvin had to educate them on Will Chamberlain.
Yeah.
But why should they know who Will Chamberlain is? The only way they would know is to Google his name.
Right, but it's a history lesson built in. You say that with the traveling and everything like that, you guys, and that's obviously a tight-knit bunch. It just gets me to the tournament. And I'm not worried about seeding with you guys, but I'm worrying about I texted you right after the game last year against Michigan about a heartbreaker because I knew you guys had that game won. But with the guys that returned, how big of a motivating factor is, hey, they got their feet wet and they kind of let one get away to kind of work throughout the program, the tight-knit bunch, the youngsters coming in, and make everybody understand, hey, we can do something here, but we've got unfinished business from years past. We need to keep the momentum rolling. This is a big deal.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody mention it. I know I haven't. I think you live in the moment, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff looks good on paper, and it reads well. It sounds good, but you know Michigan's best players play is in the NBA, and our best players in the G League. You know, our second best players in the G League as well. The players coming back, you know, I think they. You know, we talk to our kids about living in the moment. You know, stay in the moment. So what happened last year is last year. Again, you know, we have four players, Sed Ali, Nate Hinton, Bryson Gresham, and Dejan Giroux, that have never played in an NCAA tournament. So talking about Michigan or any of that. I don't know how that applies to what we're doing.
Well, I love what you're doing, and I couldn't be happier for you. And I know it's a family affair. You got your family involved, which is fantastic. And I just wish you all the success in the world, and I appreciate you spending some time with us. We look forward to doing it again as you guys make this run.
Joel and Barry, good to be on with you guys. Anytime, thanks for having me on.
There you go. Coach Kelvin Sampson of the Cougars. You can follow him at Coach Sampson, U of H. Always great to have him on the program. And always easy to talk to. That dude knows what he is doing. He's done it for a long time. Hey, speaking of those people that know what they're doing, right now before we head to the break, I want to tell you about Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, if you're looking for a roofing company here in the Houston area and you don't want storm chasers, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers, people that are going to do a great job, use a quality product, and do it with customer service throughout the process, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about Fitz. Fitz is a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get this status. They got it. You need it. That's why you call them. They use the CertainTeed shingles, so you're getting the best shingles in the business, and their base warranties are longer than the average roofer can offer you, and they go from there. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor, and the most important thing is you get a free no-obligation inspection just by getting in touch with them. You can either go to fitzroofing.com or you can call them at 832-521-3001. Set up a free no-obligation inspection. They come to you, they tell you what they can do, and then you decide if you want them to do the work. It's just the way they do business. They are dedicated to Houston and the people of it, and they want to make a difference for you. They also have a nonprofit where it's Fitz for Families. 10% of all their profits goes back to the community. So again, just another way they show you they are dedicated to H-Town. Call them today, 832-521-3001, or check them out online. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Good to catch up with Kelvin
Sampson. That was fun, man.
That was a good interview with a good dude.
Props to you. Good get.
Appreciate that. Yeah. He's always going to be a friend of the show. He said he's going to be available for us, and we appreciate that.
But yeah.
Definitely follow him and follow the program, because it's a fun time to be a fan of the Cougs basketball team as we continue to blow through the stuff on the show today. Also want to remind you, with Valentine's Day coming up, our video stream provided by Twin Peaks. So check us out on video. Not that there's anything to see. We might have more things to see.
I mean,
later,
I'm kind of hot. I'm sexy.
That's why I got the glasses. I'm just trying to emulate you every chance I get.
You can see my Twin Peaks.
I don't think that was necessary or appropriate. But hey, just want to remind you too, Valentine's Day coming up, Twin Peaks Sweethearts Costume Party. Twin Peaks through the 14th, Sweetheart Week. Twin Peaks nice. Girls, which I'm sure you're familiar with, barely dressing up all week. Oh, Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. Hello.
Barely dressing up. They ain't lying when they say that.
Don't take your sweetheart there, but you could look for one.
We've been there when they do a week like this, and it's worth it. Get out there.
Yes, scenic views. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Definitely. So a little Cougars basketball, and getting into the fact that you had mentioned, Nick, you watched a game last night? Okay. Did you watch a game last night?
Why didn't you ask me?
Because I said you already watched it.
Why are you asking
me?
I'm here, Joel.
I said you said you watched the game last night. Nick, did you watch the game last night? You were there, right?
I was.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, to me, in watching that game last night, I didn't think Harden was going to get 30 points. I mean, he came back in with 4 minutes to go and had 20. And as I kept watching the clock, I was like, oh, man. And the one thing I kept saying was, if he does get there, it's going to look forced.
It didn't, though. Did you think it did?
Yeah, it did a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, but I get, here's the thing. You can go back and forth. We know the Rockets broadcast is going to be completely pro-James plays defense, but the only reason he got that pickpocket steal late in the game he was watching the clock going, I need a quick one here or I'm going to be in trouble.
Well, I felt like he earned the shot by getting that steal, because, I mean, it's not that easy to get a steal, but it's no doubt that it was kind of forced. I mean, they were trying to get the ball to Harden. So
and the Rockets' Twitter account during the game says, who says James doesn't play defense? And he was picking the pocket of Dirk Nowitzki, who looked like he was in super slow-mo. Dirk had the ball and was, like, trying to turn quickly, and James just kind of went from behind and went, I'll take that right now.
From Dirk?
Yeah, from Dirk, of all people. And they're like, who says he's all offense? I'm like, dude, if you took it from Doncic, I get it.
That's so funny.
But Dirk, who's, like, $6 million man, slow, yeah, like, trying to turn.
He was
like,
hobbling okay the whole night, just hobbling.
He just doesn't look Dirk good, man.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Well, I mean, I think they're kind of letting him do that, right? It's a finale last year.
Did
probably
they give him
last
something
year
like boots? Because you know
well,
how
he hasn't
people
announced
come through.
It's his farewell tour.
Oh, but it is though, right?
Mike Wade, there's no way he's going to play be next year. Like, yeah, the way he looks, he looks like he's in pain running.
Absolutely,
yeah,
right.
I know you can have, like, you know, wristbands and stuff. You're not allowed to have a walker out there, so you can't. He wouldn't be able to.
Where are you guys, by the way, on? Because Dwayne Wade obviously has said this is his last year.
Yeah.
But this whole jersey exchange at the end of every game,
I'm okay with it. It's the new era. I know a lot of the old school people don't like it, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care. I mean,
I think, I mean, I'm fine with it too. It's just like, if you're going to do a jersey exchange, like the other night he did it with Curry, absolutely. But if you're going to do it with, like, Langston Galloway,
is that what he did?
Oh, he's done some ones that are kind of
random. Maybe it's
random
because they come up and ask him and he feels bad, like, bro, I didn't really want to do this.
Yeah,
with
I
you
wouldn't be shocked at this point, now that it's kind of become a trend, that the PR staff of teams have gotten involved and do the asking and kind of made it. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it does.
But I'm saying you don't want like Hartenstein going up and be like, hey, Dwayne, big fan, can I have your jersey? And then he's like, I didn't really want to swap
hey, wasn't
with you,
he like
bro
player of the month in January for the G League?
Hartenstein, yeah.
Yeah, he's playing his ass off down there.
Put some respect on his name.
A little foul prone up here. Okay. But I will say the other thing that the Heat have done, and I caught it. I don't know if people caught it, because I'm always thinking, you know, and Nick, you've seen some of the jerseys I have framed. I'm like, dude, if you're going to do a jersey exchange after you just played 40 minutes and sweated your
that's gross
off.
No yeah, way I'm
I
doing
don't want
that
you signing that and putting in a frame and knowing that we could have a science project in a couple of years. But what I watched is at the end of the game when he knows he's going to do it, his equipment guy slides him a towel rolled up,
uh-huh,
and he's got a jersey pre-signed of his that he did not wear that night.
Dwayne does?
Yeah. And as he's really going to find out who he's going to exchange it with, he unwraps the towel and he pulls it out. And then he gives them that one, and it's already pre-signed to so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. And then they take off their sweaty jersey and go, here you go.
So Dirk doesn't really do that, right?
Yeah, Dirk's not doing any of that, I don't think.
Yeah. But could you imagine, though, if he was playing, like if Wade was playing last night in Toyota Center, he would have got one of those awesome jerseys with the Mandarin letters that you love so much, Barry.
That I love so much.
I should have wore a t-shirt with Mandarin letters.
He would have gotten his own Chinese.
I wouldn't have been mad.
Sun Devils
that's
jersey.
Your choice.
He got in his own Chinese Sun
yeah,
Devils
exactly
jersey.
His own Houston, yeah, his own Houston Sun Devils Asian market jersey.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm sure that would have meant a lot.
Well, at least it would have brought more sponsorship dollars in.
That's right.
We're just going to go get all of that out.
I mean, as far as the game goes, it was You kind of expected them to get a win, I guess, at home. I felt like I had made a note that, boy, I don't know if it was good defense or not, but it seemed like the Mavs, just some of their shots were just awful shots. Just especially the second half, how many air balls and just not even close to the rim
Luka
shots
had,
did they
I
have
think, at least three air balls.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing very well from the free throw line, but he was still Luka Doncic. I mean, he was.
Is he not a good free throw shooter?
No,
I don't
he
know.
He normally is. And, okay, and a buddy of mine who his family knows their family, and I got them some passes for last night.
Uh-huh.
He said that he's clearly hurt. He got extensive treatment after the game, and something's not right with him right now. Not that it's serious, but that he's kind of dinged up.
He's hiding it well, I'll tell you that.
But I'll tell you, the one move that got me was he was driving baseline, and he made a move where he looked like he was going to go around his back and mm-hmm came back from behind through his legs to set himself up for a jumper and then made the shot, and everybody was like, oh,
yeah,
okay, he's special, that
hit a
kid.
Hit a deep three step back in the first half,
early,
too.
Yep.
It was like, woo. He's got some range.
That kid's a real deal, and he's 19 years old. That's why I said when we were talking about the Porzingis trade, if they somehow, and they're, it's like I said, they beat Portland the other night, that didn't help them. But if they can somehow finagle a way to hang on to their top five pick, because if it's out of the top five, they have to give it to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get a top five pick with those two guys and the cap space that they have to, where they could sign a max player, Dallas could easily surpass the Rockets in the next year.
There's no question the potential is there. The sky is the limit for them at this point, as long as Porzingis stays healthy and they get that pick that you mentioned. I think there's a lot of potential.
No doubt.
There's a lot of potential on a couple of teams.
Yeah, not just the pick. I mean, you can still do some work in free agency.
That's what I'm saying. With one, you got enough money to sign one max guy or have a lot of money to spend across the board.
Good for them.
I'm assuming, Nick.
I know. I saw that he was good. He was trying to influence the officials.
Yeah, and then Chris Paul saw it and told the officials on the other end.
Like, I got star power too.
Yeah,
bitch.
Keep his Shark Tank ass off the floor, because he was sitting there on the baseline, and then all of a sudden for timeouts he thought he was an assistant coach and he could come into the huddle, and then he turns and starts getting into it with the official. No, you take your rugby shirt and sit your ass where you belong.
Speaking of the officials, how many flops did not get called last night?
There was a bad day for the officials.
You know, they're made up, a team made up of Euros, and boy, it really showed. Well, they were flopping all over the damn
place. But Hardaway Jr., Gerald Green had that ball in the backcourt, and they showed it in replay, and he went flying like I'd hit by a sniper.
Dude, the ref was right there, too. How do you miss that, being that close? I get it if you're kind of out of position and can't necessarily see it. You're right there. There was another one with Tucker late in the game where it pissed Tucker off.
He shows his emotions a lot.
He does.
But boy, some of them he's really right on, too.
Yeah,
when you see the replay. All right, we continue to talk about that. If you want to join the show, the HR&P listener line is wide open, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, and we can catch up with you that way. If you want to hit us via Twitter, it's at PacManJoel with a K, at the producer Nick, and at Barry is Funny.
Yeah, hey, check this out, guys. There's this new app I've been using. It's called Get Upside. It's totally free. You can get it from the iTunes or Google Play stores. So whatever smartphone you have, you can download Get Upside and start saving some money. Start getting cash back. You're buying stuff like gas and food already, so why not download Get Upside, use promo code Barry, and start getting cash back when you make those purchases. 5,000 plus gas stations in the area, you get up to like 25 cents a gallon cash back. And you know how much I love to eat and eat out. I don't eat at home a lot, and that's why I love the app. Get Upside lets me get up to 35% cash back in hundreds of restaurants around the city of Houston. It's like happy hour prices anytime I want them. 35% is a big deal, too. Go spend $30 on some food. You get 10 bucks back. Imagine doing that every time you eat out. That starts to add up, man. Super easy to use. Download it from the App Store, like I said. Use promo code Barry, my name, with an A, not an E. Don't be a weirdo. Barry with an A. You're done. That's it. Now you open the app. You find something around you where you want to eat or maybe go get some gas. You pay with your debit or credit card. Take a picture of the receipt. Done. It's that simple, man. You get to cash within 24 hours back to you, and you're good to go. And I like it, man. It's super easy to use, and you're already spending the money, so why not get the cash back? Get Upside. Use promo code Barry. Get those savings. You'll thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Hour number one, 3-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us to go, whether you go work-wise, just in the car. And again, always remember ESPN975.com. You can download the app. You can take us anywhere, everywhere. Always get us, because we get tweets and texts from people that are listening from all over the country, and we appreciate you. And if you ever miss anything while you're on ESPN975.com, click on the show tab and you can catch up on the podcast on the hours that you missed.
Do it.
We have been discussing your favorite basketball team in pro.
Yes.
The Houston Rockets. After your favorite college team, the Cougs, and Kelvin Sampson had joined us. The Rockets thing, Shumpert looked better last night, but people were kind of quick to go, did they get the right guy? Look, he's got to get acclimated to a new city and a new team, right? A new system. But when you give this guy open looks from three, he can knock them down. And the best thing is, he's a hell of a defender.
See, I didn't realize he was that good of a defender. I think when they got him, I said he was above average to decent. But apparently, he's better than I gave him credit for. I don't know that to be true. He did a decent job, I think, when he was in there against Luka Doncic, because he was on him a little bit. Tucker, I thought, did a great job.
He's great.
If you look at Tucker's box score, you would just see the numbers and go, man, Tucker really sucked last night. But the job he did just defending Doncic, I thought was
plus
admirable.
The way he absolutely broke his ankles on that cross. He nearly like tripped over on that crossover that he had. That was pretty.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had really good defense against Doncic.
I like the fact he was talking to him, too. Like,
at
he was,
one point on a tip ball that went out of bounds. Yeah, you're right.
And Tucker's one of those guys. He's underrated at not only crap talking, but with some intimidation behind it. That's why I told you guys, Harden hated when he had to go up against P.J. Tucker when he's with the Suns.
Yeah.
He was so happy when he became a Rocket, because that's one guy he didn't have to worry about. Because you look at how physically intimidating he can be. And then you realize that he's talking game, and he ain't talking like kindergarten G-rated. He's talking about everything on the table.
Yeah, he is definitely at least NBA all-second team trash-talking.
Yeah, he's no doubt. There. Yeah, and you know what? The thing that D'Antoni had referred to after the game, they said, you know, James's shoulder became an issue.
Uh-huh.
People were referencing it. Was it a problem during the game? He was actually on the injury report as probable, but the fact that it was bothering him. And after the game, when they asked D'Antoni, they'd say, what would it take to get James off the floor? And he said, I don't know, like an elephant gun? He goes, once he's in the arena, you know he's going to plan on playing or practicing. But, I mean, you could tell he wasn't the same, and that could be an issue where he might need to rest going forward.
Yeah
and the only difference that I see in his cadence from years past is when it came down to injury, he was incredibly secret. I guess it was a part of his competitive nature to keep his injury as secret as possible, so opponents, you know, couldn't, I guess, plan against it. But he seemed way more open about answering questions, and that's why, like, a little mini prediction for me is that I actually think he'll be more open to rest. And I'm pretty sure they're not saying this out loud, but realistically, they don't look like the team that they were. They don't look like they have the same chance as they did last year. I think that would at least be a contributing factor in the back of Mike D'Antoni and James Harden's mind that perhaps this might be a good time for you to rest. But you never know. That's just a little mini prediction for me. It doesn't make sense for him to play. It really doesn't, I think. I think if he be open to, you know, maybe a couple of road games or against particular teams that, you know, just really don't care going forward, I don't think it's going to necessarily hurt this team.
Well, can I tell you something? He won't do that till the streak's over.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't disagree with him.
Obviously, it means a lot. Now, okay, so a question I had, we talked a little bit about him with 4 minutes left, just turning it up to hit 30.
Right.
I didn't see it, but they said he turned at his mom in the front row and said, that was for you, mom.
Well, he started with somebody on the bench first, then went to his mom, but you knew.
Well, I mean, I know it's important to him, but do you think it's that far-fetched that maybe he did it for, you know, those folks too? Because I'm sure his mom loves the fact that her son's got this streak going.
Oh, sure. No. But I don't think he did it for her. I think if anything, she probably looked at him because she's pretty vocal too.
Yeah.
And based on, she probably looked at him and went, well, baby, you ain't getting it tonight.
Oh, you know, really?
Maybe it didn't look like he was. It was those two shots late that was like, uh-oh, now he's got a chance all over again.
Yeah.
And so they were able to feed him back on that three, not in the corner, but I mean.
I don't think it was egregious though. Like that three was just really more in the confines of the offense. He set a pick. Paul goes around it, feeds it back over. You see that happen all the time.
It looked a lot better from a cover-up standpoint. I'm not saying that they were trying to cover it up, but yeah.
Because I would feel like you would be doing everything, like you would be having multiple players setting multiple picks with him running around screens to get an open look somewhere. That just looked like it was more in the confines of the offense, but maybe I'm gullible and naive.
But I think part of it, too, is they're prepared because you watch his last three. He's getting double teamed with denial. That was the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have such a system of high pick and pick plays to set him free. And that's Dallas's fault too. If they're gonna deny, they fell right into the trap, got sucked in by the pick, and he was open. You know, he had to make a deep three.
Yeah.
But it looks a hell of a lot better than the buddy ball that took place between the Thunder guys last night so they could both get a triple-double. Because there's been some egregious ones. I was going to say, I chuckled because it wasn't like Ricky Davis throwing a miss of his own off the backboard real quick to get a triple-double. But, yeah, you're going to have nights like this. But going back to what you said, Nick, the one thing that was noticeable to me most of the game, even though he had to turn it on late, was he looks gassed. I don't. You can blame it on the shoulder, but yeah, just overall his energy level and his kind of focus level. To me, the All-Star break's coming at the right time. He looks gassed to me.
Well, I mean, it's possible. There was no indication that he's been like missing practice. I think he was at practice today. D'Antoni said that he's pretty sure that he'll play on the road against Minnesota tomorrow. I'm assuming they're leaving tonight for that road game.
Right about now.
Well, he is leading the league in minutes played per game at 37.4, but not far behind him is Bradley Beal at 37.1, but that's over 53 games. There are guys that have played more total minutes, like Beal and Holiday and Paul George, but they just have done it in more games. So
I like the thought that if the streak is over for whatever reason, and perhaps it's because of the shoulder and the fact that, you know, because he said he couldn't get the same lift, you know, if the streak does stop or come to an end, I think there might be a possibility that he takes some rest. And look, this is not a bad team. I know Minnesota's been playing okay without Butler, but I mean, Karl Anthony Towns and the T-Wolves, that's not a team that you're necessarily threatened by if you're in the Western Conference right now.
Here's a question about the streak and something to consider. So, one, it's consecutive games played, right? If he sits out a game, that doesn't cost him the streak.
It shouldn't. Because if he's not in the starting lineup, he's not in the starting lineup.
Yeah, because this game's played.
So I
played,
could see
I would
him
assume.
Being like, hey, you know what, coach? Go ahead into the All-Star break. Maybe I sit out that last game. Get me an extra night of rest. You guys can, I mean, that's a possibility. But I think coming out early, I'm with you. If he's in a game and it's even close, as we saw last night, he's going for it. The question will be, once he surpasses 31, you still have another 30
to
go.
You ain't getting to 65.
At that point, he may be more prone to, well, it was a good run, and now I'm second all time. No way am I catching him. Because let's be real, he's not going to get 65 in a row. There's no way, right?
The thing that people don't realize unless they read the fine print, the 65 was done over two seasons because they extended it over a year.
Wilt.
So with all that being said, look, it's a hell of a run. No one's going to come close to the number that he's put up already. But the bigger thing is, and the key, Nick, is the quote he made. He's not getting the same lift. That's got nothing to do with your shoulder, Chief. That's got everything to do with the fact that you are starting to wear down a little bit.
How many games do they have left? There are 56 games? They've played 56?
Yeah, it's an 82-game schedule. And here's the other thing.
What is he at right now, 30?
Yeah, 30. But here's the other thing. If this wasn't the last game before the All-Star break, this would be a bigger deal. But they know he's going to get a full week with the exception of a BS run on All-Star game Sunday. They know he'll play tomorrow night, get through this, and if it goes, then he can rest a lot.
He can't even do it this year. There's 24 games left. So there's no way he could break the streak. So it would be a carryover just like the record. So I doubt very seriously that we see it. I could see him at one point just being like, man, I got 14 at half. If I don't have 25 by the fourth quarter or 20 by the fourth quarter, forget it.
This goes back to the MVP question. What's more important, James's individual accomplishments, MVPs, and this streak, or the team and how and being in the best position to win?
You want me to answer as him? I'm saying, do you want the answer as him or as a fan?
Yeah, I think I know how he's going to answer. Exactly. I always care more about what you guys would say. All right, one in the books, still two to go. We'll be back with the second hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.